Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Danny. It's Wednesday, March 21st. Isn't that supposed to be the first day of summer or something?
No, spring. That was yesterday.
Oh, spring, I mean.
It was actually yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, 2021st, same thing.
It was kind of nice out yesterday, so.
Yeah, but
today it looks
but
like.
But today the weather is the star, and not only here, but the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the new nor'easter is going to see more than, or the cities in the east.
Mm-hmm. Okay, obviously 3, not 3,000 flights were canceled.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a lot of flights.
Yep.
Right?
I'd be so pissed if I was stranded in a blizzard.
Yeah. They're saying that it's going to be like more than all the three storms combined that came before it.
My sister just got like a bunch of Redbox movies and is staying
at
home.
Yeah, just stay in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to have to do the same thing because of the rain. You'll see the rain's
going to.
No, you watch how the rain's going to be so strong that you won't want to go outside and be in the traffic. Trust me.
Really?
Yeah,
what if I'm in a Lyft?
Because the streets get like, well, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. The streets get flooded and it's not fun. You know,
well, that's kind of
at
scary.
Least that's what they're predicting. So I don't know. But that's what we were expecting. I mean, look how dark it's gotten all of a sudden.
I know. It looks like 10 p.m. at night.
Yeah. Well, it's fine with me. I like rain. I like the winter and we need some of it. But I hope it doesn't cause too much damage. It's going to be around for about 36 hours, they're saying.
Yeah, like 3 days.
2 days.
2 days, yeah. I was like, 3 days, 2 days.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is that they're fearing some mudslides and stuff. And all the people that live on the hills in the nice houses now have to really, really
think about their decision of living on a hill
right,
in a nice
count
house.
Count their blessings and get some prayers going there,
mm-hmm.
You know? Because otherwise they'll be down the hill.
Yeah. It's not funny, but.
No, it's not funny at all, you know, but. That's the reality. We've seen bigger problems than that, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? In a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by our guests today. We have incredible guests, and I know we're going to have a lot of fun. And everybody always loves when we have full house here. No Facebook Live today because the cameras are on the fucking fritz, and I'm really irritated. So we'll see. The guy's either going to get a chargeback and a bad Yelp preview.
So you got two phones or one phone?
I got two phones, and one of them wouldn't start anymore.
Yeah.
So I took it back. The guy says, well, blah, 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 the 14 days are over. I'm like, Anyway, I don't want to get into the things, but I'm just going to tell him it's either a chargeback and a bad Yelp review or give me new phones, make me happy, and let me leave.
Right. Are you getting iPhones? Are you getting...
Those are used, though. We're only using them for cameras, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah, it doesn't have to be new.
Right.
And they're iPhones. I bought two iPhone 6s, you know?
Yeah.
And so they both fucked up in the same way.
Yeah, I would just
so
get my money
understand.
Back.
No, but I need to get them. It's actually still better than to buy them from a private person because where are you going to find them after the phone doesn't work?
Yeah, know? Craigslist. They'll just take your money and bounce.
Exactly. You know, so you don't know. But that's why I never buy used things. You know, my dad told me when you buy something used, you're buying somebody else's problems.
Right.
You know, so.
And
give
they're
me
selling
new.
It for a reason.
Right. You know. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say it's not always because it's bad. Maybe you're just upgrading or something. But
right.
But still, you know, I mean, it's other people's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't know where it's been.
No.
Yeah.
But you can say that about a lot of things, can't you?
That's true. I can. I wasn't trying to go there, but okay, if you want. So listen to something smart. Toys R Us are going out of business, obviously.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know if you remember KB Toys, maybe when you were young.
Definitely not.
Really?
Nope. Never even heard of it.
Really? Because when my kids were young, they remembered it. They were like, they were smaller than Toys R Us. They were in malls often. Sometimes they had, I think, standalone stores.
Is it like
stores,
a West Coast thing?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never heard of them.
But they decided to open 1,000 pop-up stores for the holidays.
Oh, they're coming in hot.
Yeah, because
they know Toys R Us is going out of business.
Exactly. They're saying there's so many toys out there that have already been made to be sold to Toys R Us.
Right.
They'll pick it up, probably get it at half the price.
How do they still have money, though? To do that.
Who, KB Toys?
Yeah.
I don't know where they've disappeared to. You know, they actually closed. This guy just has a name, but he decided he's going to open all the stores to capture all that demand and all those toys out there.
It'll either be really good for him or really bad for him.
Well, I don't know. It says $500 million worth of toys have been produced for Toys R Us with no place to go.
Wow.
So there you go.
What a
waste
of money.
That's a market he can capture. Although most of it is probably going to go to Amazon anyway.
Yeah, I was just about to say, they'll probably put it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Because everyone buys their kids' toys off Amazon anyway now.
That's true. I mean, what's left? Like really Target, Walmart, mm-hmm. That's about it.
And Walmart, it's like, I feel like it's really spread out. Like there's really not that many Walmarts out here.
Yeah, no, not here.
Like the closest one to me is like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, there's not that many of them, but they're big stores, you know. So, but at any rate, so it's going to rain out here. Are you going to play in the rain a little bit? Do you like playing out in the rain?
No, my hair.
Oh, your hair.
I'm black.
Okay, so thanks for a reminder.
Unless I'm going out in a hoodie and like a baseball cap or something, I'm not. I have church tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about.
So
like,
you live your life according to your hair.
Well,
pretty
no.
much. Would you go to a tropical place where the hair gets frizzy because of the
I would probably
humidity?
Get my hair braided.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I would go
idea,
with like a certain
right?
hairstyle knowing where I was
Because even
going.
With straight hair, you're still going to have problems where it's
yeah,
humid
like
that.
Look at underneath right now. It's like already starting to curl.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Oh, okay. It's already downfalling.
All right. The problems that women have.
Yeah,
what can I tell you,
exactly.
man?
Exactly. But if I was going to a tropical island, I would probably get like the Zoe Kravitz braids, like my full head braided.
Yeah, that's true, right? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And it goes with the place. So mm-hmm. there you go.
And that way, if it rains or if it's too hot, like the frizz doesn't matter.
Right.
I'll still look good.
Yeah. God, every time I talk about these tropics, I need to go to Hawaii, man.
Have you ever
I'm
been?
Still plan. Oh, yeah, several times.
Oh, okay.
But I want to go because I like Hawaii because it's tropical and yet it's still America, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't have to deal with all the laws of other countries that I don't like.
Right.
You know?
I actually love Hawaii. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many places to see there.
It's
you know,
so beautiful. So. I just don't really like how there's not that much of a variety of food. It's like all Asian food.
Well, no, not really. Well, it depends where you go and what you try to eat.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
What, did you go like in Waikiki where all the tourists are?
That's exactly where I went.
Yeah, so that's not Hawaii, really.
Well,
know?
We didn't have a choice. I actually went when we were filming Bad Girls Club. So they took us on a trip out there and every restaurant we ate at was Asian
restaurant?
Food.
Wow.
I was like, is there anything else?
It's because there's a lot of Asian tourists there. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why.
No, I think a lot of Asian people live there.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of tourists, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's closer to Asia
right.
than the mainland here.
Right.
You know?
It's really beautiful, though. But the bugs out there are insane.
Yeah. Somebody told me his son is going to school there. I'm like, wow, what a cool place to go to school in Hawaii, you know?
Mm-hmm. He'll probably never come back. He'll probably stay out there.
Yeah. It does have its drawbacks, though, you know, when you're not in the mainland and stuff. I mean, a lot of things are very expensive mm-hmm. and everything. So, yeah.
There's only one island now that has an active volcano, though.
Right.
I wouldn't want to stay or live there.
Mm. Might be fascinating. I don't know. You go in a helicopter.
Yeah, okay.
Would you go?
That'd be the one day that it erupts.
Would you go
like,
in a helicopter on top of a volcano?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Well,
have you ever seen Dante's Peak?
No, I don't think so.
You like Pierce Brosnan?
Was that with Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
And what was
it?
The woman's name?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that was horrifying. After that movie, I'm
you
like,
you know what?
I don't.
We have movie buffs here. They'll fill us in on it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's bring him in.
Yeah.
We might as well, right? Since we're there already.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, our guests are, we're joined by Mr. Ethan Detmeyer and Dan Truly. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Hi, thank you for having us. It's
thank
a privilege
you.
To be here.
Of course. I don't know why your microphones are not high enough. But
I wouldn't turn our mics up either.
Yeah.
No?
I have to say I'm shocked by the language I've heard so far.
Yes.
Really?
I'm ready to walk
you
out.
Don't
only three fucks. I mean, this is like...
You don't hear that on Ethan's show, huh?
No, it's a barrage.
Ethan has a little more class than me do.
I don't know if class is the word.
Then what is it?
No, he said he's only heard three fucks, which is not enough.
That's not a lot in 10 minutes. Yeah,
yeah
that's
yeah.
true.
I would say our show is more like running a cell block. or probation office.
Yes.
You know, never know really how to govern the personalities in there.
Yeah. So Ethan's show is Combat Radio. You do it every Friday at 10 to 12.
Yes.
And what do you guys talk about?
Nonsense.
Nonsense.
I don't even know.
But you guys, I think it's mostly about film and movies, though, right?
It tends to be like that because I worked at Warner Brothers for so long, and that's
I'm trying
sort
to
of
get a job
I
there.
Run in.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not kidding.
So
I think
does everybody.
I've tried to apply to like every single job online possible.
Really?
I'm like, can somebody give me a goddamn personal
assistant? I am so happy that I did not come up in an environment where you have to apply for stuff online.
That's I know. Right. Why can't I just go in?
Exactly. Just go in and, you know, have them turn me down in person.
What was your first job in the industry, Dan?
First job in the industry was I did craft service on an industrial movie that the
Grizzly
visual effects maestro Doug Trumbull did.
No kidding.
To introduce the 1987 Chevy Corsica, and he had this thing called ShowScan, which was a rival to IMAX, and it was a large screen format. It ran at a different frame rate, and it usually involved seats that moved. And he got bought up, but I basically went and bought M&Ms for everybody.
So oh my God, craft service treated like crap.
Oh well, see, this was a great because it was like it was, since it was an industrial, it was like a commercial, which are usually very well, you know, like. We were on a stage for a good month, and they just said, "Spend whatever you want." Like this, we had Chevy was the client, so do whatever you want. My second job, however, as this one was ending, they said, "You know what? You did craft service really well. Come do it on this film that we're going to go do called Under the Gun, starring Sam Jones from
my buddy,
yeah, and also Vanessa Williams." And this was right after the big Vanessa Williams Miss America,
yeah, fiasco.
Exactly.
Her pictures were nude in Penthouse.
Yeah,
Vanessa Williams is black, correct?
Yes.
She used to sing.
She's a singer too, but she actually won the Miss America pageant.
Wow, you haven't heard anything about her in like decades.
Right. I think she does a lot of TV now.
Really?
But this job was like, come out and do, and it'll be great. You did great at craft service.
Right.
Come do it in this movie. They gave me $100 a day to do craft service for the entire crew. The first day,
God.
I remember that. I quit the first day. We were shooting out at the Tillman Water Reclamation Plant out in Van Nuys. It was 116 degrees.
Mm-mm.
I put out like a thing of peanut butter. It was the consistency of water.
Ooh.
And everybody in the crew was like, what the fuck are you doing? You have no idea. And I said, I'm out of here. And a guy said to me, you will never work in this industry again.
Really? Wow.
And I never did.
Really? Yeah. Like, right. Not in the craft part of it, at least. Yeah.
And now, you know, now I try to treat all craft service people with the
respect.
Dignity.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because I've done a few reality shows, and the craft service people, if we do like an 8-hour shoot or something, we'd be like, what? Literally treat them like, say, like, what the fuck is this garbage?
I mean, it's like the first hour, you're like, look at all this food. By hour three, it's all picked over.
Yeah,
and you're
like
just
disgusting.
Like,
but it's so comical because what other line of work provides an entire snack and snack assistant?
Right.
Plus all your meals.
Yeah.
Right. Craft service is a tough job, as is catering.
Yeah, right.
It's ridiculous.
But that's why everybody wants to be an actor so they can be waited on and stuff, right?
Yeah. I've never been rude to any assistants, but I've seen people be like really like on some disrespectful.
But then, and that's the way they behave with everybody, you know? I mean,
see, that's the thing. It's like why are actors weird when they become big stars? They were weird to begin with. You know?
Right. Exactly.
If they were nice, they end up being
nice. If you're nice, you're nice. Right?
Correct.
Right.
Is that a way to circle back to my buddy Sam Jones?
Is he nice?
He was great. I mean, that was probably after Flash Gordon, right?
It was after Flash Gordon.
That's still what he's known for, I think.
Yeah.
Ethan, you need to talk into the mic.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
For a guy on radio, he certainly doesn't.
I wouldn't really call what we do radio, though. I mean, this is like a real radio show in here. I would say what we do is kind of record a bad version of Romper Room next door.
Well, I don't know. But you always have great people together. You have great chemistry there. And you guys should definitely listen Fridays 10 to 12, Combat Radio. And Dan, you're on there a lot.
I try to be.
Dan makes the show.
That's not true. Ethan makes the show. And I just come in and talk shit on the radio. Ethan, okay. Combat radio for Ethan is a stepping stone to doing good in the world.
Well, that's true.
It really is. That's true. And Ethan does a lot of good, let me tell you. His whole family are really dedicated to helping out people, children, mm-hmm. you know. And so you guys have the events, right, throughout the year and stuff. What do you have upcoming?
Well, we don't have anything actually on the books right now, but the main thing we do every year is the Christmas for Homeless Kids in December, which is December 1st this year, where we bus in, like Polar Express style, around 400, sometimes 500 homeless children and their families.
You believe?
Give them presents and brunch. And Dan's done it. We do a broadcast from it, and Dan's been a part of it. And most of the people through the show get pressed into service.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he knows a lot of great people.
I'm down to help because I'm obsessed with your wife. So.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. You're not the only one in the room obsessed with her.
Yes. She's the real boss.
Yes.
Right.
She's like my second mom, I swear.
She is the
I look
real
forward
boss.
To seeing her every Friday.
And that's an example where if you're nice, you're nice all the time. You're
right.
Not just nice to some people. And the same with being nasty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I am nasty all the time. You're right. But my wife is nice.
Your wife would not be with you if you were nasty. No, I can't imagine her being with someone nasty. There's no way.
Thank you.
But so there's a lot going on. Now, Dan, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
I'm a TV writer. I have been writing, I think I'm in my sixth season of the Tom Selleck cop show Blue Bloods, which is on Fridays at 10.
Oh.
And
that's Donnie Wahlberg, right?
Donnie Wahlberg, mm-hmm. That's correct.
So you write regularly for the show every week or whatever?
Basically, we have 7 or 8 writers, and you know, somewhere in every 22-episode season, you get somewhere between 2 and 4 episodes.
Yeah.
So
how do you get anything done with so many people in the same room?
Yeah, and like, do you all have to agree?
No, what's interesting about Blue Bloods, I also wrote for Law and Order Special Victims.
Oh my God, that's my favorite show. literally.
Well, there's the originator.
Yes, well, you've come to the right place. Yes.
It's
lady.
Just not the same after Stabler.
Dan knows all about Special Victims.
I wrote that episode.
I was so
upset. And me and my...
Is there any hope that he'll come back?
I'm guessing is that they may be able to rope him back when they do the final episode, which is going to be, you know, they...
Are they planning the final episode?
Dick Wolf has always wanted to... have a dramatic show that outlasts Gunsmoke, which was 20 seasons. And they are doing... We're in the 19th season right now.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
So, do you know how many seasons? And it's like every Sunday, I clear my schedule to watch the marathon.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was on. The marathon was on yesterday. I'm like, this is my favorite show ever.
Wow.
Yeah. I've seen every episode at least 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, well, I know what's going to happen, but it's still exciting.
You get to rub elbows with the originators.
Yeah. Here's my elbow.
Honored. I feel honored.
I wrote the Carol Burnett episode. I wrote the Kathy Griffin episode. I wrote the Eric McCormick episode.
What about any of the old
ones? Okay, so you guys write the episodes individually? It's not like...
Well, that's the thing. Both SVU and Blue Bloods, they do not have a writer's room because they're very episodic shows, and so there's very little narrative freight to move from one episode to the other. That's why they're both very successful in syndication, is because you can turn on the TV at any point and you don't need to know what happened last week.
No, except they just did a crossover with Chicago PD and those episodes.
Yeah.
I like couldn't stop watching that either. Yeah. I was like, well, this is so clever.
Yeah.
That's true. So some shows are like, they don't continue from one.
Right. Some shows are serialized, like Lost is the, like if you saw episode 7 and you had not seen the previous 3, you had no idea.
No idea.
Although a lot of people that watched Lost watched every episode. And they didn't have any idea what was going on.
The producers didn't know what was
going on.
You know
what? Like every show, you put a show on the air and you hope you have figured out what the overarching arc of the season or the series is. But because of the way things changed, I knew a guy that was on Lost and he was like, we have no fucking idea what we're doing. We're making this up as fast as we can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
It seemed that way to me, honestly.
Well, I mean,
I never got into that show.
I mean, it was the first season was amazing. It was an amazing, and then it kind of became a little untethered. But it was like the first series that kind of put an end. They came back. I think the show was faltering, so the producers very smartly said, "Let's end it this season," which allows the writers to kind of build to a certain point, because most networks want their shows to go for years and years and years. But they said, "Let's end it," which gave. It allowed the audience, some of whom had drifted away, to come back and go, okay, I'll watch how they wrap all this up.
Right,
that's
right.
True, yeah.
That happened to a lot of shows. Like, I got into Revenge. Like the first season, I was like hooked. I watched the first season on Netflix and I was like, I'm addicted to this show. And as the seasons went on, it kind of was like, what are they doing here? It's like they were just kind of like putting anything together and then they finally were like, all right, we're ending it.
Right. I mean, it's, look, it is not easy to do, which is the brilliance of SVU. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's been on for almost 20 seasons now. It's had 4 different showrunners. But we never had a writer's room because the writers come up with their own thing. I think, although I'm mistaken, in later seasons after I was on, they had writers.
Who is Ted? Was Ted the showrunner?
Ted Kotcheff was the writing producer. I was the producing director.
Love,
so he kind of unified the look of the show and helped with cast. I mean, Ted was
legend.
Just amazing.
Legend. But
I always hoped Olivia and Benson and Stabler would get together.
That was. But you can, what, but the moment that they do, everything, all the wind goes out of the show.
I know.
So there has to be some kind of tension. And
right.
There was always tension. We were always like, ugh.
Yes.
It was like,
well, there were two groups of shippers, is what they call them, is that internet fans invest in the relationships of the shows. And so there were shippers who were invested in the relationship between Elliot and Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a smaller group that thought Olivia should hook up with one of the female DAs, the blonde, Stephanie March.
Yeah.
And there was an episode where I think Stephanie was in witness protection and
what an episode! What about an episode where Olivia's on her Tinder and she swipes and her partner?
Well, no, she's with the IAB guy now.
First of all, how dare you bring up Tinder? There are Tinder enthusiasts in this room.
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering
I'm not
about
it. I'm saying, why don't you factor it in? Yeah. Story.
Well, Mariska came into a scene where Stephanie was hiding out, and Mariska put her overnight bag on the bed, and online people were like, oh, do you realize what that means? They're sharing the same bed, you know. But when I did the Kathy Griffin episode, I had Kathy Griffin kiss both Stabler and Mariska, and then
I've seen it.
Dick Wolf cut the kiss between Mariska and
I was gonna say, yeah, that
Kathy
was
Griffin.
Not
yeah.
in the episode.
Yeah.
So. Very interesting how they put it together.
Did you know it was gonna get cut, or did Dick Wolf surprise you when you saw it?
No, he did it actually after, if I'm not mistaken, NBC had already promoted that episode with the kiss in it. And then but you know what, and to some extent he's right. If you start to give Mariska a mate, it kind of disconnects the audience.
She has a boyfriend.
Well, she does now. She has Robert Burke as the guy.
Yeah, and he's been on the SVU since it started too. But everyone hated him. Well, so I'm like, why are you guys together now?
First of all, he's a great actor. Second of all, he played RoboCop in the third movie.
Really?
And he was in the Stephen King movie Thinner, where he started off as a fat guy and got skinny.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's a terrific actor.
I do like him a lot. Yeah, I like his voice. He has a distinctive voice.
Bobby Burke.
I've never seen the show.
Yeah, ever? You live in a cave.
No. Yeah, right.
No, I've never seen the show either. TV. I don't know what you guys are talking about. So, but hopefully, the fans of the show understand Manushka and all those whatever names.
If Stabler comes back for the end, I'll be ecstatic.
Okay, all right. He's got his own.
He was on True Blood, right?
He was on True Blood, and now
that's over.
He has a show on Sci-Fi called Happy, where he. Patton Oswalt voices this little flying. I think it's like a little. It's a little. He plays a weird, completely whacked out cop, and he sees this little flying animated hippopotamus or something, and it's just a crazy funny show.
So you like it?
Chris is an amazing comedic actor.
Really?
In fact, he always used to say he's trapped by his face because he looks so serious, but he's not a serious guy at all.
Right. Oh, wow. He was in Amy Schumer's movie.
Goldie
Hawn.
Yeah.
And he died, because he was stupid.
It's
funny
how we started talking about movies. Yesterday we spent, we had a guy who's into books, another host here, and he comes on quite a bit.
What are books?
And,
right.
Well, I'll tell you what they are. I've got a lot of them. I still read them, believe it or not. I even read the newspaper. And it's funny because in my whole building, there's like 15 apartments. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one who gets newspaper there, you know. The other people probably don't even know what it is.
I get a newspaper every morning.
Right? You yes. see, because we come from a generation where right. we grew up with it.
You know? I don't think I've ever read a newspaper in my life.
Wow. What, do you live in a cave?
Yeah, yes. It's so cool.
You know, why don't you get together with Ethan and you will never hear about SVU newspapers. You know, Ethan, I don't want to scare you, but President Kennedy was shot a few years ago.
I heard.
Did you hear that? Were you around when that happened?
No, I wasn't, but I heard about it. And also, I think his brother was also assassinated. And now there's a movie on Robert. Was it? No, Ted.
No, Ted.
Chappaquiddick. They yes. What took him right. so long to do it, is my question.
They probably waited for him to die
first. I feel like that family's cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they,
well, I think they're doing a lot of their own self-cursing.
Yeah, they're doing their
I mean, it waited so long because you simply... The political climate didn't want that story told because it is not flattering.
What do you want to bet that that's like funded by some super PAC? That whole film.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Didn't one of them die in like a skiing accident?
One of them died in a plane crash, right? The son?
The son died in the plane crash. There was a skiing accident. There was also a sister, if I'm not remembering.
Well, you know, Maria Shriver, when I was at Warner Brothers, did a rewrite on Collateral Damage for her husband, Arnold Schwarzenegger, when I was there. She's
I'm
a
sorry.
Kennedy.
What?
Yeah.
Did you not know that? No. It was an uncredited rewrite. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. I wonder if I'm violating an NDA.
Probably. Probably so.
If you didn't sign it, it's fine.
Yeah,
but yeah, when I was on Collateral Damage, Maria Shriver insisted on doing a rewrite.
Who would have thought that she, of all people, was going to give him lines like, get down!
No. Yeah. Well, that was the big argument because they wanted to make it a dramatic... It's not a movie that anyone remembers, probably, but they wanted to make it a big dramatic movie, and it was originally for Harrison Ford. And when he passed, they were to make it so Schwarzenegger could kind of, you know, circumvent the action world and become a real actor.
Right.
So she felt like most in tune to... revamping his career. And when the first cut was in there, I was the one who said, you need to put in some Schwarzenegger in this movie.
Right.
Like, let me ask you a few questions and throw an act. Right. And of course, I was laughed out of the room in the meeting.
Of
and
course.
Then that's in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
They went back and did it. Andy Davis went back and did it.
Well,
can I get some credit?
Yeah.
That's, you know, whatever makes the movie work. But it's just so funny that they were had such disdain for the
bad
idea
guy in Collateral, Cliff Curtis, is a New Zealand actor.
Brilliant
who
actor.
He is of Maori descent. From in New Zealand, but he always he played the South American drug lord in that movie, and he played a centaur in Hercules for me approximately 1 million
and
years ago.
And did he play what's the drug kingpin?
1 million years ago.
Who's the Pablo Escobar?
He always plays a drug
in Blow or
in Kingpin.
Yeah,
I mean he's always he's
Training
the go to. And now he's on Fear the Walking Dead. He's the dad on Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But
now Dan, how did
I
you
never
be,
watched that show?
How did you become a writer in Hollywood? What were you doing before that?
I saw Jaws when I was 12. I grew up in Houston. I moved out to L.A. I got whatever job I could. And then I worked at a company called New World Productions. This was back in the late 80s.
Is that Roger Corman's?
It was post-Roger Corman. He had sold it to a group of investors.
Oh.
And Bob Ramey, who then went on to head the Academy, was the president of our company. And I was his assistant for a couple months, and he called everybody Babe. Like, hey, Babe, what's up? And I was like, oh, my God, I'm really in Hollywood. Like, they really do call each other. And I met a guy on – I was on the third floor. This guy, Andy, was on the first floor, and we met, and we hit it off, and we both saw Lethal Weapon and said, we should try writing a movie like that. So we wrote a movie thinking – we had no idea what the odds were of selling it or getting it made.
But you just did it because you felt you had to,
yes,
right?
We just, that's what you, I didn't even know if I wanted to be a writer. I had never really even written, but I had seen a million movies. So we wrote it, we sold it, we got an agent, and we were suddenly off to the races.
Wow.
What was
the movie? The movie was about a Japanese Yakuza who comes to America and teams up with an American cop to find his daughter.
I think
blah,
made that, right? With Jared Leto?
Well, they made a Yakuza movie on Netflix, which is apparently horrible. And I was thinking, God damn it, if this thing was good, it could spark interest in that old Yakuza script I have.
Right. Yeah. But do you remember, was it Red Sun?
Black Rain.
Black, no.
Well,
not,
there was
no,
a Red Sun with Toshiro Mifune.
Both of them.
Yeah, Michael Crichton's book.
Michael Crichton, yeah, with Wesley
Snipes. That was Wesley Snipes.
Yes.
And they also dealt with, like, Japanese.
Yes.
You know, it was
Was that Art of
American
War?
Cop.
That was a later.
There was a lot of movies
I love
like
that.
But Black Rain took place in Japan.
Right. With Yakuza element.
Well, the most interesting one is the movie The Yakuza with Robert Mitchum from back in. And it had Randy Quaid in it and Takakura Ken. And, I mean, I still think that there's a huge Yakuza video game, which is, like, I'm surprised they haven't made that into a thing yet. But
really?
I love that
you know
what
the Yakuza are, right? The mafia of Japan.
Yeah.
He jumped right to the classic, though. Sam said Red Sun, meaning, and I knew you were talking about the Connery movie, but you jumped right to the Western with Charles Bronson with the samurai.
Right. Because maybe it's not Red Sun. Maybe it's Rising Sun.
No, Rising Sun. All right, okay, we got to stop.
I'm confused.
If only there was a device that could tell
I know,
us.
We're starting to look at it. Called
Danny,
Google.
Please diagram this because the guys in the room have completely lost their shit.
Right.
I'm like, what is going on here?
She's like, oh, thank God I'm
here. How did you like being a personal assistant? That's what I've been trying to do. So I told Sam a couple weeks ago, I went to
it is Rising Sun. I was right.
Yeah.
I confused you in the first place.
No.
I've never
because
no,
I said
it.
Red Sun.
Well, but,
and this is Charles Bronson.
But it's interesting that first of all, they always have to have a sun in there. Or it's always
because
weather related, black rain.
But the sun is because of the flag.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a red circle.
No clue. I've never even heard of it.
So
is that from like the 80s?
The land of the rising
yes,
sun.
Yes, that's ancient history.
Yes.
You know, the 1880s.
From that Pearl Harbor attack in the 80s is what we all remember when it comes to that flag. You see that flag.
I'm like, what?
Being a personal assistant was interesting. Although I wasn't super personal, but it's just a lot of scheduling and stuff. And you know what? Again, like you said before, it all depends on the person. If you have a normal person, great. If you have a psycho,
that's what I've been applying
better.
For. And I told Sam I went to an interview a couple weeks ago, and I didn't know. It just said personal assistant and get into specifics of where or what. So I get in there, and the guy's like young, he's Italian, he's from New York, and he like worked for Regal, and like we hit it off from the bat. And in my head, I'm like, I got this job. Like, I told him, I was like, I can only work part time. I'm on the radio till 11.
Right.
He's like, oh, I can't hire you. And I was like, why not? He's like, you're way too hot. I can't hire you.
See, I have a feeling that in the Me Too era, personal assistance, that whole thing is going
to
change.
He was like, imagine really if I is. Brought you to my meetings. He's like, people would just come up to me. Because I went cute, obviously. I'm not cute right now. But he was like, if I brought you to my meetings, everyone would just be like, yo, can I get your personal assistance information?
Exactly. Like, I may need to text you late at night.
So he's like, I just can't do it. He's like, but you're fantastic. Your personality is great. But I just can't have you in meetings because everyone's going to want to talk to you.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true.
So I'm like, what
maybe,
the hell?
Maybe he can't trust himself around you. I don't know. But the thing is, at least... And that's a precarious position for women to be in, you know? And that's what the whole Me Too movement is about. You know,
it's in Hollywood.
Because I lost a job because of my gender, you know? I mean, you could start complaining about that, but you're not, which is cool because you're not a complainer.
No, I'm not. I'm like the most laid-back chick, and I tried to explain that to him. I was like, I'll dress down. Like, I'll go how I go to the radio show like, if you want me to.
I can come in and say I'm Amish. And like, you know, she's just over there churning butter.
But then you won't be able to touch technology, and you'd be useless.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
She goes, you know, let me send Jedediah down the road to make a...
he's so much more efficient than those Mennonites.
Yes. Yeah. To make a reservation at a restaurant for you.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much like, every interview that I go to, because I'm trying to do it like either in the entertainment field, because that's what I want to do initially. But I feel like it's who you know and like connections, not exact. I feel like it's like my boy Steven just got a job at Warner Brothers, but it's only because he knows a lot of people. He didn't fill out an application.
There is Hollywood is just not an application business.
So what am I supposed to do then?
meet people.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
mingle. Mingle. I'll tell you later, okay?
Yeah. Like,
there's a lot of different... you got to join like bowling leagues, right? Things
like that.
I know anything.
I know an actress.
I don't know how to bowl.
Oh, for God's sake. Those kids today. You know, when I was your age, my dad used to make me bowl 18 hours a day. I know an actress who got a job, and now she's a hostess at a restaurant, and that really expanded her horizon
she
in terms of meeting
of
people.
I was going to say, if you got a job at the smokehouse across the street from Warner Brothers, you'd be working at Warner Brothers within the year.
That's absolutely
I'm about to go apply. I'm not even kidding.
You know what?
Everyone goes every day.
And it's owned by George Clooney. I mean, his company is called Smokehouse Productions.
So when I first moved out here, I got a job in an insurance company, which is fine, but it was just like one of those places where you like felt like you were working at a library, and I was like, I got fired for being a disruption to the office. Like,
somehow I'm not shocked by that. Somehow, if I was trying to get some sort of deductible on a landslide claim, I'm not sure your bubbly personality is the person I want to talk to.
Has someone ever put together a book on the art of being a personal assistant, what it takes to get the job and do the job?
Maybe you can write one.
I don't have any experience.
You know, but that's there's a book by Anonymous called The Hollywood Rules, which is it doesn't talk about that specifically.
By Anonymous.
Well, because it's such a crazy. Like, you know, it's such
tell
a
all revealing
exactly
kind of
because
thing.
The business is and look, it is fundamentally changed over the last 6 months, and if it hasn't, then it should.
Right,
but it has always been a business that is filled with people that, you know, entertainment value and talent is a very amorphous thing. How do you put that on a resume?
Right,
but
right.
the it really is. When I came out to Hollywood, there was this rumor that Steven Spielberg was hiring kids out of film school and making them basically a star, plucking them from obscurity. It wasn't true, but somebody said to me, "Just calm down, because everybody comes out here and you want to be a star by age 25."
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to be a star, but I know I want to work in the business.
Exactly.
But you gotta start.
Yeah. Somebody said to me, calm down, you are going to get into this business and do exactly what you're doing, which is go work at a company, and then you meet other people like you who want to do things, and you're all going to rise in the business together. So kids that I met, one is, you know, now they're showrunners, now they're executives, and that's exactly the way it is.
Wow. So, Ethan, how did you get in?
I got a job in the mailroom, actually, which was great because you're invisible, right? So you see and witness everything.
Ethan has never been invisible. Although I did see a picture of Ethan from, 15, 20 years ago?
In John Milius' office, the director of Conan.
And John Milius was the guy who told me to calm down.
Was it?
Yeah.
Legend. Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, you were in the mailroom, which is a great place to meet all the other people in the company.
And Milius got me out, actually. I got a job in feature development with Bel Air Productions, started working with Seagal, I worked with Seagal afterwards, but I started with Schwarzenegger on Collateral Damage. And so I jumped from the mailroom, which Warner Brothers I owe a lot to, even though it's kind of a studio in chaos right now. But
when you were, like, in screenings for Collateral, did he say, "Get out"?
No. But you know what? I will say this. Arnold Schwarzenegger is by far, I'm asked this all the time, because my old boss, Steven Seagal, just got dragged over the coals this week over all kinds of rape charges.
Yes, two things.
Whoa,
Schwarzenegger
what?
Was without a doubt the coolest guy I've ever worked with. And I think by now I've worked with just about everyone, if you want to include radio, right? I remember I met him for the first time, and Schwarzenegger goes, he puts his hand on my shoulder and goes, "You got good shoulders." And then he points at my gut and goes, "But you look like you've been relaxing." But he was the most personable guy. Like, right away, you go, I can easily do a movie with this guy.
He was a star.
And he is a star. And he still is. He still is to me.
That's what it takes.
I'd be down to work in a mailroom.
I made $7 an hour when I started.
Whoa,
I met my wife, actually, who's 17 years ago now. And then I got a job in feature development, which is where the real work is.
She was 5 when you met her?
Yeah, basically.
First of all, when Ethan says he worked in the mailroom, it's M-A-L-E room. He's not talking about Hollywood people.
But I'll tell you a trick that worked for me. Like, my shift would end at like 5, right? And I would pretend I'd punch out, and then I would take the cart, because you were just told to park it, and I'd go around for like another 2 hours, dropping in all the top-level executives' offices as if I was still working, just asking if there was something I can do for them, so they'd get to know my face and go, I like this kid. He checks on us, even though I was way off the clock. Eventually, I got known, and then that's how I got the job
in
feature
development.
That's
precisely when...
That's really smart.
It's
a hustle mode.
There's a very... I don't know exactly how real it is, but it is a Hollywood legend that Steven Spielberg came out here from Arizona, put on a suit, walked through the gate at Universal, waved to the guard like he knew him, had a briefcase, basically dressed like he belonged on the lot, found an empty office, set up shop, and got in, found Sid Sheinberg, and became his friend, and Sid Sheinberg made him a director.
I think it's partially true.
Wow. I think it's partially true.
Gavin debunks it.
That's the most gangster story, if it is.
Exactly. Well, but, you know, after that story got out, every fucking asshole like me put on a suit and tried to walk through the gate and was wrestled to the ground.
Exactly.
That's the real side. Everybody, right? Yeah. We're joined by Ethan Dentmeyer and Dan Truly, and obviously fascinating conversation. I wanted to ask you about, like, TV now is different, right? I mean, they call it seasons, but they make all the episodes pretty much at the same time, and then people watch them, like, binge watch and things like
well,
that.
Well, no, not if on it's demand. On regular TV.
No, but there's not that many. I mean, a lot of stuff is on Netflix and Amazon and Showtime and HBO and stuff.
I honestly, I came up at a time which was like the last bit of kind of the glory days of network television. And I still work in network television, but the trend is obviously you make 10 episodes of a show and then you dump it all on Netflix at the same time.
Right,
and
right.
Kids binge on it and they... And it's good and bad. You know, I've binged on shows, and there's something exciting about watching a 10-episode thing over the course of 3 nights. And sometimes you're like, okay, I'm going to watch one more episode. And then
you
stay up. But I need to find out.
I never wanted to watch anything that badly, though. You know what I mean? I didn't mind waiting a week for the next one.
Well, I mean, and that's and there's a larger sense of sometimes you get done with 10 episodes, and then you forget about it for a year and a half because...
It's not on Netflix.
It's not on.
Yeah.
So.
Then you kind of lose love for it. It's like not the same. Like when it comes back, it's like, oh, it's been so long.
Right. You know? Exactly. I mean, and you know what? You've already binged 30 other shows, and it's hard to. So it's kind of a, you know, there's a give and take.
Right.
I still work in network where you have to wait a week to see.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I can't wait for next week's episode.
You're the one young person that actually watches network television.
Always. Ooh. How to Get Away with Murder. Scandal, I will say, when she got pregnant, she took that, like, they almost like went 2 seasons without showing a new episode. I stopped watching it. So by the time it came back on, I was like, nah.
Yeah.
Like it was just too long. When was the last time you binged?
When was the last time I binged? Yeah. I actually saw, I usually get stuck on watching stuff that people we know work on or we know that are in. It usually snags me. And I think I binged Altered Carbon.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
On Netflix.
I almost watched that. It looks interesting. I almost watched it.
Now, there's an endorsement. Yeah. You know, I almost
like I was in the other room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Guys, before we go, we only have a few minutes. I wanted to discuss the film that I finished watching last night that we talked about yesterday.
I haven't seen it.
Jim said... It was a great ending. It's a twist at the end.
But it doesn't end.
But it doesn't end, right? Okay. And the movie he was talking about, which I watched last night, is The Illusionist. Did you guys see it?
I've seen it. That's the one about the magician, right? In like Eastern Europe?
Right. Yeah. Back. It's a period piece. Right. He was a magician.
Christian Bale.
No, that's the one that Nolan did.
Oh, that's the Prestige.
That's the other one. They went head to head.
Exactly. This one is with Ed Norton and Jessica Biel and Paul Giamatti. And it's an amazing movie, and the twist is unbelievable. Because it's like you don't realize that he actually pulled the biggest trick of all.
And
I don't want to give away too much.
And he doesn't really exist.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, no,
that
not
movie
really.
Is mad old, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it's mad old. Wow.
It was made 13 years ago.
That's pretty long time ago.
Okay,
though.
Excuse me. Wow. Somebody grab my mic if I slip and break a hip here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm bursting out into liver spots.
Don't worry. I got your walker, Dan. Okay,
well, it's all relative. Age is relative. You know what I'm saying? Man. She feels old sometimes, too, at 30.
No, I do. No, I'm not 30 yet, okay?
Okay.
You know what? 30.
You know you're young when you give a shit about turning 30.
Right. Definitely.
Like, my life is going to be over.
Yeah, because my life is just like, this is not what I thought my life would be at 30. You know,
well, that's okay.
Wait till
never
you're 54, honey.
I know. And it looks like doomsday out, by
that's
the way.
Right.
It's like progressively gotten worse.
It's really
minute.
Dark and rainy and everything, but...
Can't we just stay in here, snuggle in here,
exactly.
And the radio for 6 more hours?
Exactly. Let's do that. Why not? You know, but it's a lot of fun having you guys. Ethan, what's cooking for you? I did want to bring up that just because of The Shape of Water. Now they were talking about Doug Jones.
Yeah, one of our
favorites.
And
we met him here on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
He's been on Ethan's show. Now, he's been the Silver Surfer, too, right?
That's correct.
And
In Fantastic Four,
yeah.
And he was in Hellboy. as the
Silver Surfer. Wait, is he black or white?
He's
no,
white.
He's white and very tall, very thin.
I thought the Silver Surfer was Chris Evans.
That's your. I believe you're thinking of the remake. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, they remade it again. Yeah.
Probably, but.
We're talking about the original one.
Chris Evans, isn't that the Captain America?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
What's
yeah,
interesting
sorry.
Is about that is both.
He's so hot.
Both the guy, Killmonger from Black Panther, and Chris Evans were both in Fantastic Four.
Oh, interesting.
So he was in Fantastic Four, though, so I didn't make that up.
No, Richard, what's the kid's name that was Killmonger? He was the Human Torch or something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah, he's like caught on fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, right. So, and Doug Jones is the creature in the Shape of Water.
Okay.
So that's why...
I haven't seen that yet, but it looks really good.
Yeah, I know, I haven't seen it either, but... So suddenly I saw a feature on him, or at least an interview, on TV. It was amazing.
Since she sleeps with the creature in the Shape of Water, some people call it Grinding Nemo. Thank you. I did not make that up.
So she sleeps with the creature?
She's in love with this creature, and they have a moment.
Yeah, they have like a moment, yes. So I heard, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she hasn't seen the movie, but
no,
she's heard about
it. I've heard
part.
It, yeah, because everyone's been talking about
that's
it.
That's why it's instantly in her next
I've been waiting
queue.
For it to get on Redbox.
Okay.
So that's the joke then,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
I wonder how long he had to be in makeup for that.
The makeup was fairly extraordinary.
Yeah, he almost looked 3D.
And Ethan gets all of these very, very interesting people on his show because, look, Ethan introduced me to the production designer and the writer of my favorite movie, Jaws. So he will forever be in my pantheon of
that's
radio
your favorite movie?
That is, that was.
Really?
That's a good one to like.
Saw it when I was 12, saw it 22 times in the theater.
Really?
Oh my God.
This was back before you couldn't see anything.
That was like 74 or something?
It came out in 75.
75. Pretty close.
I've seen Jaws.
Pretty
that
close.
That I have seen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Jaws 2, 3, 4, whatever.
You haven't missed anything.
That was it. It was a different time. You either saw it in the theater or you didn't see it.
Right.
And well, now you can watch it like on demand.
Exactly.
Shark Week, it's on like 50 times.
Yes. I mean, if a movie back then was an extraordinary success, they would re-release it in theaters.
Right.
They do that every once in a while now, but...
Right.
With Disney movies, mostly.
Exactly.
Yeah, because the kids, for them, it's a new experience.
But Disney movies now, it's like, I feel like I go with my nephew and I'm like... Yeah, if I was a kid, I wouldn't understand half of this. It's like such an adult thing
now. A great movie works on 93 different levels.
Right.
Yeah, wow,
but I love Disney movies.
Yeah.
They're great animated.
Yeah.
I think that's like harder acting that than acting in a real movie because like you have to pretend that you're actually
Apparently that's the greatest gig for actors.
Really?
Because you go in there and over the course of 3 days, you stand in front of a microphone and do your thing.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ethan, tell people how they can listen to you, how they can find you, if they want to communicate with you. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt your texting, but we can go over to Dan first.
No. You can listen to me here on Friday mornings from 10 to 12.
Okay. And if people want to find you on social media, how can they?
Twitter. Or Twitter? Instagram, Combat Radio, basically, are the two.
There you go. Easy.
I feel like I've followed you before. Or I've seen...
In
I've
the park.
Seen.
Social media-wise?
Yeah, social media-wise. Because Combat Radio sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
Well it's because you heard it here several times.
Oh, but I got a present for you.
On social media.
Weren't you asking about these? We're doing a big ticket giveaway next door.
Oh, so wow. Look what he brought.
Weren't you asking for some Wilson Phillips?
Wow, Wilson Phillips. He just pulled that out of his pocket. Ethan, thank you very much.
Of course.
I'm shaking his hand because...
Sam, I got
he gave me my
you.
Wish. That's okay. No, you gave me a great guest, and we appreciate you coming in, Dan. Dan, truly, how can people find you?
I don't really have a social media presence.
Really? So what do you do?
I mean, I the world does not need to hear my opinions on everything.
Oh, but
they
do.
Don't you want to follow what other opinions are about?
You can find me through Combat Radio.
On Tinder.
I mean,
and obviously they can find you on Tinder.
I may be available on Tinder and Bumble for the more discriminating.
Tinder's actually suing Bumble right now.
I know, because Bumble was created by somebody who used to be at Tinder.
I know, what an idiot.
And they feel like they took their thing. But right. Bumble...
But they changed
that
enough.
That happens a lot.
Well, and Bumble came out with a huge full-page ad in the New York Times yesterday responding to this lawsuit that said we swipe left on your allegations. I mean, it was a kind of it was a very sort of revolutionary way to respond publicly to this thing. It was
very interesting. I think Bundle's a little better. I just hate how the woman has to say something first.
That's supposed to liberate you.
I know, but it's just like, then you regret it. It's like, ugh.
Look, any woman on these apps is, you know, it's a haunted house with guys. Guys are animals.
Yeah, I know. I used to have it, and I deleted both.
Yeah.
Because Tinder's all about sex, and Bumble is like, you have, like, you meet them in person, and you're like, oh, this isn't going to work.
The nerve.
The nerve.
To make it all something all about sex.
Yeah.
My God. Why mm-hmm.
Listen, we only have a minute or two. I wanted to play this. So I got tickets for Wilson Phillips. Do you know who they are?
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Okay. Yeah. You don't know. It's three ladies, and they were both, two of them are the daughters of.
Wait, they're a group.
Yes.
Wait, were they
in
Bridesmaids and they performed in Bridesmaids?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll play you right now what they sing, just a little note.
No, I know who they are now.
You do?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I love them. You know, I listen to their music.
Is this a song in Bridesmaids?
It probably,
yes. Hold on.
Yes. Oh, now Ethan.
At the wedding.
Ethan's warming up his pipes over here.
Yeah, this is the song of Bridesmaids.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I love it, okay? Yes.
Are you Sam was all about Wilson Phillips.
I'm about Wilson Phillips.
Yeah.
And you know what? And Ethan made it possible for me. I really thank you, Ethan. That's a great surprise.
You know, I like gifts too, you guys.
Yeah, it's not the original three Wilson Phillips. They died back in the 70s.
Together?
Exactly. No, their parents.
I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh my God, that's so sad.
But their daughters are famous musicians, you know. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.